Okay. Okay, so in the past we have had many messages on the subject of where are we in our Christian walk with the Lord. As we spoke last week, how serious is our walk with Him? How committed are we to the Lord? We should be very committed. The more you know Him, the more you'll be committed to Him. Are we earnestly seeking God in our lives? Will we earnestly seek Him during this coming year? We've also spoken about spending quality time with Jesus. Any time spent with Jesus is quality time. In His Word, the Lord invites us to come to Him. How beautiful is that? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me." Imagine Jesus inviting us to come to Him. Jesus doesn't only invite us to come to Him, but He also tells us, come closer to Him. Come closer than we've ever been before. And that is the subject of this morning's message. Come closer. What is it like to be really close to Jesus and to really know Him and to genuinely experience who He is? How are we going to respond to the invitation to come closer to Him? As we said many times in the past, He's more than wonderful, more than amazing, totally awesome, undefined, indescribable, beyond magnificent, and the list goes on and on. We could only at best begin to scratch the surface of who Jesus is and what He means in our lives. The Lord is telling us, come home. Come closer to me than you've ever been before. As we start the new year, we want to ask ourselves, how close to Jesus do we want to be? Do we want to be closer to the Lord than we've ever been? This morning, how are we going to respond to His invitation to come closer to Him? As we mentioned earlier, Jesus said, come unto me. He's inviting us. Consider the one who is inviting us to come closer to Him. If you could turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to read a few verses beginning at verse 12. For those online, it's Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning at verse 12. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or being His counselor, has taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to Him? Verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, say to the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who has created these things, that brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one fails. So who is inviting us to come closer to Him? The Almighty God, the everlasting Father, your Creator, the one who breathes out stars and holds planets in his hands. Now we're just seeing things now. We've had the Hubble telescope, now there's the James Webb telescope, and we're seeing a lot more fantastic planets and stars. They're in the hollow of Jesus' hand. In the hollow of his hand. I mean, what a God, what a heavenly Father he has. In all his greatness, he's our Father. The one who breathes out stars and holds planets in his hands, he's the one who's telling us, come closer to me. We sing, how great thou art, and how great is our God. But do the words really penetrate us? Who's inviting us to come closer to him? The one who stopped time for Joshua and turned it back for King Hezekiah. The one who opened the Red Sea. The one who walked on water. The one who is known as our burden bearer. The one who has an infinite, overwhelming love that will never let us go. The one who, as the book of Proverbs tells us, sticks closer than a brother. The one who said all nations, as we read, are less than nothing to him. The one who opened blind eyes and deaf ears. The one who heals leprosy. The one who cast out a legion of demons. The one who raised the dead. The one who left heaven for us, humbled himself, became one of us, and then died the most horrible death for our eternal salvation. The only one standing between us and an eternity in hell. The one who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And the list goes on and on. This is the one who wants closeness with us. How about examples of those who had closeness with God? We may have accepted the Lord into our lives and may know him to a certain degree, but he's always telling us, come closer. He wants to be your closest best friend. Martha welcomed, accepted Jesus into her house, but she did not have the closeness and the communion that her sister Mary had with Jesus. Mary spent time with the Lord and knew what it was like to come closer to him. As Martha accepted Jesus into her house, we may have accepted the Lord into our lives, but do we have the closeness, the communion that he longs to have with us? This morning, Jesus is calling to us and saying, you've accepted me into your life and your heart, but come closer to me. He's telling us out of some infinite, incomprehensible love, come closer to me. You need to come closer in order to really know me and to experience who I am. King David had a beautiful closeness with God. Psalm 63, verse 1, he said, earnestly I seek you. Psalm 139, verse 18, David said, when I awake, I am still with you. This tells us that when David fell asleep, he was meditating the Lord. What a way to fall asleep. Wow. Acts 13, verse 22 tells us that David was a man after God's heart. In the Bible, we have a beautiful example of someone who had a very close relationship with the Lord. And can you guess who this is? How about Moses? Let's turn to Numbers chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 4 to 8. Numbers chapter 12 and verses 4 to 8. Keep your Bibles open in this area. Numbers chapter 12 and verses 4 to 8. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, Miriam was Moses' sister, "You three come out to the tent of meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" So we're starting to get the picture of the closeness that Moses had with God. If the Lord spoke to us mouth to mouth, we would be ecstatic. But even this didn't satisfy Moses. How do we know? Let's back up to Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to find out how even this didn't satisfy Moses. Exodus chapter 33, I'll give you a moment to get there. We're going to begin at verse 18. For those online, we will be reading from Exodus chapter 33, and we're going to read verses 18 to 23. Exodus chapter 33, and beginning at verse 18. "Then Moses said, 'I pray you, show me your glory.' And he," God, said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." Then the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will make my hand, I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." So God said, "I will put you in the cleft of the rock." What does cleft mean? Cleft means to split open. The cleft of the rock was a split in the rock. And speaking with the Lord mouth to mouth didn't satisfy Moses. He wanted to see God. The Lord is telling us to come closer to him and has a cleft of the rock experience waiting for us. Imagine that. The Lord has a cleft of the rock experience waiting for us. It wasn't just for Moses. We could have it too. God said to Moses, "Behold, there is a place by me." You can imagine the atmosphere in this area. Moses was not only spiritually, but also physically close to God. It must have been so awesome. Do we desire to get close to God? What an unbelievably awesome, phenomenal, indescribable presence we would experience. Psalm 91, verse 1 tells us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." We have a choice, an awesome privilege, to live in the secret place of the Most High and to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What are we doing about this awesome privilege and invitation? Do we hunger and thirst to be this close to God? Notice in Exodus chapter 33, verse 21, that Moses was instructed to stand upon the rock. We know that the rock represents our Lord Jesus. From the rock, you get to know the Father. From Jesus, you get to know the Father. After Moses stood upon the rock, then he had the experience with God. What did Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But in Exodus 33, 22, the Lord put Moses in the cleft of the rock. It seems like God lifted Moses, placed him in the cleft of the rock. We want the Lord to lift us and place us in the cleft of the rock so that we could genuinely experience Him, who He is, and know Him so much better, to really know and understand Him, to have a mind-boggling experience with Him. Mind-boggling experience with Him. We think that we know God, but we know very little of Him. There is a mind-boggling experience waiting for us if we want to get closer to God. How much do we hunger for the Lord this morning? How much of Him do we want in our lives? You will receive of God according to your desire. What do I mean by that? If you want only a little, you will only receive a little of the Lord. If you want much, you will receive much of Him. He fills to overflowing. How close to God do you want to be this morning? This may sound surprising, but you could get as close as you want to the Almighty God. He's that willing to have us that close to Him. You could get as close as you want to God Himself. His arms are open. The choice is ours. So what is the cleft of the rock experience? In the cleft of the rock, there is an intimate communion with the Lord. In this experience, you are spending wonderful, awesome time each day with God in prayer, in His Word, in worship. In this cleft of the rock experience, you may tell God that you want to see His glory that can be seen even in nature. Psalm 19, verse 1 tells us, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. We saw His glory in the heavens this past April when we saw the total solar eclipse. It was probably about 85 to 90% here, but if you watched on television, they showed areas across the nation where it was 100%, and you see that coronal ring of the sun around the moon, the glory of God in the heavens, you could see. His glory can be experienced in His presence. In His presence, you are filled with awesome wonder of who He is and how much He means to us. In the cleft of the rock, you may tell the Lord, I want to know You so much better. I want to understand You better. I want the best friendship I could ever have with You. I want to be close to You. As we said before, you could be as close as you want to the Almighty God. His arms are open. It's up to us. In the cleft of the rock, you may tell the Lord, I want to feel Your presence every day. I want You near to me every day. I want to genuinely experience You, not a surface experience, a deep, genuine experience with the Lord. I want to experience the reality of who You are. This is all available to us. Have you truly experienced God? Have I truly experienced God? You may tell God, I want more than Your visitation. I want Your habitation. Abide in Him and He in you every day. Now, visitation implies that the person is going to leave. If someone goes to your house, they stay for maybe a couple of hours, then they leave. We don't want the Lord to ever leave Absolutely not. And we could tell him, I want your habitation, don't ever leave me, and he won't. In the cleft of the rock experience, you may feel as King David did in Psalm 63. Please turn with me to Psalm 63. It's absolutely beautiful, and I think we should read it. Psalm 63, and we're going to begin at verse 1. So in the cleft of the rock experience, you may feel as King David did in this psalm. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in the dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. How beautiful. My soul clings to you. Remember that. My soul clings to you. It's up on the PowerPoint. Your right hand upholds me. Do we seek the Lord earnestly? Do we want to behold God's power and glory as Moses and David did? King David said that he remembered the Lord during the watches of the night. Remember Psalm 139, verse 18? David said, when I awake, I'm still with you. Do we have the same communion with the Lord as David did? In Psalm 63, he said that he will rejoice in the shadow of the Lord's wings. The Lord's wings represent his protection over us. Is our hunger for the Lord so great that we cling to him? No, Mother Teresa told that to the nuns that worked for her. Naturally, they admired her, and she in turn told them, cling to Christ. Brother Petrelli told that to people in his congregation. He said, don't cling to anyone. Don't cling to your mother. Don't cling to your father, brother, or sister. Cling to Christ. In the cleft of the rock experience, you will worship God and bless him. I'm going to read to you. You could turn if you want. I'm going to be in Psalm 103, read verses 1 to 2. And then at the end of the psalm. So if you want to turn with me, we're going to talk about worshiping God as part of the cleft of the rock experience. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits. Verse 19. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 18, verse 3 tells us, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. In the cleft of the rock, there is joy. Psalm 16, verse 11 states, in your presence is fullness of joy. In this letter, the disciple Peter speaks of joy inexpressible and full of glory in knowing Jesus. In the cleft of the rock, there is peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3 reads, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." In the cleft of the rock, your heart will be completely satisfied, completely. In the cleft of the rock, you will know the Lord better than you have ever known him. We need so much more of the knowledge of the Lord in our lives. This morning we want to desire and ask the Lord for a cleft of the rock experience. God is very willing to give this experience. As I said, it wasn't only Moses. We could have a cleft of the rock experience because of Jesus. We want to remember the word of the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, my favorite verse. "You will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart." This morning, ask the Lord for a cleft of the rock experience. We could come as close as we want, accept as much as we want, experience as much as we want of the Almighty God. The choice is ours. And I will leave you with that. We're going to get down to pray, and then we will sing a final hymn.